This evening's reading is from 1 John 2, verse 7. Dear friends, I am not writing to you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message that you have heard, yet I am writing you a new command. It is the truth, is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him.
Father, thank you very much that you have given us your Holy Spirit so that we can understand what God has freely given us. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word. Lord, help us to relish it. Lord, to really be so thrilled with it that we long to learn it and to understand it. For Christ's sake, amen. Right, back to your questions. Why are we Christians? Why are we Christians? Romans 8:29. Does anyone know Romans 8:29? This is a bit like in Estonia, except they didn't know John 3:16. For those whom God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. So God chose you and me to be mini Jesuses, to be conformed to the likeness of Jesus. That's why he chose you to be a Christian. It's very simple, isn't it? You've been chosen to be a Christian to become like Jesus. Now, what aspects of Jesus' life are particularly important to imitate? You meant to live in Israel? No, of course not. Say that, but no. You meant to wear funny clothes? No. What particular aspects of Jesus' life are you particularly told by him to imitate? Matthew 28:19. Make disciples. Very good. Romans 8:29. You've forgotten already. Be conformed to his likeness. So, to be holy. We're two things we're meant to be. How can we mature to be like Jesus? How does the Spirit work in us to make us like Jesus? If you want to become more and more like Jesus, you've got to do something about it. What's the first thing you have to do? Thank you. Yeah, you've got to be based in the Bible. You've got to understand the Bible. Make God's truths part of you so that you then become more and more like God wants you to be. You've all seen the seedling illustration. Have you all seen this? It's a picture I use around the place about what the Christian life's like. It's based in the Word of God. It's root. A little seedling, when it starts, the first thing that happens is the root comes out. And we're there to be feeding on the Word of God. That's fundamental. But we're not just to be bookworms. It's meant to go on from that. And the shoot is the relationship between you and the Lord Jesus, living very closely to him, wanting to please him. So, based in the Bible, living closely with Jesus. And what are the two little leaflets? Well, they're the same too. Be holy. Develop a character like Jesus. Don't be angry. Don't always see the worst in other people. Be encouraging. That's the fruit of the Spirit, Christ-like life. And obviously the other one is going to all the world to make disciples. This is why we're having this drive to getting friends around for meals. That's our job. But it's not only God who wants to see us like this. Do you know that? The world wants to see it. The world expects it of Christians. You've heard of Mahatma Gandhi? A very educated Indian man. Spent some time in South Africa. In fact, there he became interested in Jesus. He went along to a local church. Unfortunately, he was turned away. He was the wrong color. It had a profound, long-lasting effect on him. Later he said, "I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." Isn't that awful? It's horrid. There's another penetrating, lovely old man, philosopher in India, Baradada, and he said something similar, talking to a very famous English missionary there. "Jesus is ideal and wonderful, but you Christians are not like him." There's a Hindu lecturer in India, in education. He's giving a lecture meant to be about education. But he said this during the talk: "I see that a good number of you here are Christians." Now, this is not a religious lecture, but I'd like to pause long enough to say that if you Christians would live like Christ, India would be at your feet tomorrow. Now, that's a non-Christian. Now, if that's what Indians think, could it also be true about England? Could the reason that we're making such little impact, and it's true, be because we're not so like Jesus? We're meant to become like him. We can all see certain Christ-like characteristics in others. But are we determined to take these into ourselves and make them me? I don't know if you've been to Sally's home. And in there, in her front lounge, she's got a lovely picture of an old bearded man leading over a table with an open Bible in front of him and a big loaf at the side. It reminds me of a man I met when I was a young lad, a man called Ernest Luff. He lived in Frinton-on-Sea. And it was him. He loved his Bible. He was a lovely old man. He just emanated Jesus. But there's certain other things. I remember my mother, every morning, going into her room to spend time with God. She'd read her Bible and pray. And I saw it. I saw her doing this every day. Now, what would people think of us? Do we have this example in our home? I'm Paul. He could write in the next slide, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." Wow. Wow. Did you say that? Going on, when he wrote to the Philippians, "Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you." The Bible's pattern. That's what people are meant to see. Now, if you call yourself a Christian, is this your real deep down ambition? Or later in Philippians, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice." Wow. To be able to talk like that, it's amazing, isn't it? And people knew his life. This need is everywhere. There's a Roman Catholic cardinal. And there are many problems with Roman Catholic doctrine, but this Cardinal Sleenan, he got it right. What men and women are wanting from the church, whether they realize it or not, is that the church of the day show them the gospel. Our contemporaries want to meet Christ, who is alive today. They want to see him with their eyes and touch him with their hands. Like those pilgrims who approached Philip one day and said, "We want to see Jesus." They say to us, "We want a meeting face to face with Christ." The challenge for us Christians, he goes on, is that they demand to see Christ in each one of us. They want us to reflect Christ clearly, as a pane of glass transmits the rays of the sun. Whatever is opaque and besmirched in us disfigures the face of Christ in the church. What the unbeliever reproaches us with is not that we are Christians, but that we're not Christian enough. That's the tragedy. So both God, who died to make us holy, and the world want us to be like Jesus. I love the story of a missionary who went to a village in Africa. And he told them about the Lord Jesus and what he was like. "Oh, we know him," they said. He said, "How come?" "Oh, he was here 10 years ago." Another missionary had been to the village 10 years before and had lived this sort of life. And they knew Jesus because of him. I do hope this is something that resonates with all of us. However much we failed the Lord, do you have that longing to be more like him? I remember when I was a boy, we had a chorus. It's far too difficult for our musicians here to sing, so we've left it out. "Let it be seen that with you I have been, Jesus, my Lord and my Saviour. Let it be known, I am truly thine own, by all my speech and behaviour." Isn't that lovely? That's what Christians should be praying. "Lord, I want to be a model of the Lord Jesus." Now, back to our passage, 1 John 2. John's got this very same concern when he wrote this sort of letter to the early church. This church was facing all sorts of problems, doctrinal problems, personal problems. He isn't saying that all Christians should be single, itinerant, homeless preachers, is he? No, he's saying all of us, where we are, should be asking for a radically different faith. A faith like that of Jesus and the apostles. Now let's see, verses 7 and 8. Can you see what the essence of this is? This is the root of that little seedling. The Bible's message is central. Look at verse 7. This message is nothing new. It's been God's message to God's people since the beginning of Genesis. It's not only seen in the Bible, it's seen in Christians whom the Bible is changing. And this is the book that others read. D.L. Moody, the American evangelist, said of 100 people, one will read the Bible, 99 will read the Christian. So we are those who translate the Bible into other people's lives. Yeah, that's you. You're a Bible translator. Do you know that? This is why it's vital for all of us to be bibline. Have you heard that word? The Bible gets into your blood. You want to live it because people are going to see it. Have you heard of Thomas A. Kempis? He was a sort of, I don't know, he wrote, was it about the 13th, 14th century? And he wrote this book, The Imitation of Christ. And in it, he wrote this. We must meditate before we imitate. In other words, what he's saying, we've got to get into the Bible in order to know what we've got to be. There is no shortcut. It's pretty obvious. I don't know if you've seen some of these photos. There's a Afghan hound. You know these dogs that have very long hair, you know, that goes over your shoulders, you know, goes right down the back. And there's a picture from the back of an Afghan hound with its lady owner, whose hair was identical, going down. And they were identical. And I was looking on the internet, and there's lots of pictures of film stars that look just like their pets that they spend time with. Well, if we spend time with the Lord Jesus, we will become like him. There is no bypass of this. We begin to become like the person you spend time with. You see this in a married couple. They tend to merge. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. We're being transformed into his likeness. Isn't that terrific? We're being transformed into his likeness. So the first thing is, the Bible's message is central. That is the root of the Christian life. Now, the next one here is interesting, verses 9 to 11. This is talking about love for Christian brothers. If you haven't got that, there's something wrong. It is central to the Christian life. Whoever loves his brother or sister in Christ lives in the light. Now, today there's a false teaching going around that faith is just personal. It's between God and me alone. You hear it an awful lot, don't you? It's not true. The biblical faith says when you become a Christian, you join God's people as his team of representatives, his ambassadors. When I become a follower of the Lord Jesus, I join his family. His family is now my family. It's the same when you get married. You join your new wife or new husband's family. Like it or not, you're there, you're part of it. What a disaster it is when people don't understand this and they fail to make the church a priority. The Bible makes the church a priority. We're not individuals alone. Now, you say, yeah, but look at some of the people in the church. I really, you know, how can you love them? Well, don't forget that loving is not the same as liking them. It really isn't. We're called to love and serve when it is not what our feelings would lead us to do. It's tough, isn't it? There's a few here who get up early in the morning to come and set up down at the school, or come here early in the afternoon to practice the music, to put the chairs out, who come to make the tea. Oh, it's, you know, it's a fag. But you don't do it for you, you do it for the church. The Christian life is one of serving in the church. And we're terribly grateful for those people who spend often hours preparing Sunday school lessons. It's not easy. Oh, it's so much easier to say, oh, I'll just drift along and turn up to what I feel like. No, 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 the Christian life is being part of the body of Christ, living there for him. If we're not really concerned to help and uplift others, what would you call that? It's almost I'm hating them. That's awful. We're a body. There's a, do you remember? Yeah, flick over, would you, to Philippians 2. There's a lovely example here that should encourage us all, however much of a failure we feel. Paul says this, 2 verse 5. Verse 4, let's start there. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Well, what did he do? Well, who in the very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. He emptied himself, in other words, of all his authority. And being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself even more and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus. Wow, that's some person, isn't it? But that's what the Christian life's about. The world today says, oh, make a name for yourself. Make yourself into someone special. Now, that ambition to be something is great. But Jesus had an ambition. But his ambition was to make himself nothing so that other people could benefit, you and I could benefit from his death. You see, we Christians, we don't have rights here on earth, just responsibilities. Let's say that again. We don't have rights here on earth, just responsibilities because of what Jesus has done. And Jesus himself renounced his right to marriage, to a home, to children, to privacy, to longevity, to respect, because he was a servant of God and a servant of his church. He served others very humbly. He took the humblest place as a slave. He washed his disciples' feet. And Peter objected. Lord, are you going to wash my feet also? And Jesus replied, you don't realize now what I'm doing. Later you will understand. Well, do we all understand? If I'm in Christ, if I've been forgiven, I've joined his church as a servant of the church, as a servant of other people to win them for Christ. So Jesus' people will constantly be saying, what can I do for you? How can I help you? And like Jesus, they constantly serve. When writing references for people, it's a real joy to be able to write, he or she is a team player. They're a real part of the church. They're servant-hearted, and give examples of it. Well, I don't know, how do you react when you read this stuff? Look, back to 1 John again. It's not easy, is it? Some will say, yep, I really do think Jesus is wonderful. I'm determined to become more and more like him. He's wonderful. But I guess there'd be some others of us here who look back and see all our failures and despair. How can I ever be like that? Well, I think the Bible has a word for someone like that, saying, look, please don't despair. Spend time with Jesus. Make him your priority. Determine to read his Bible. Pray and go out and try to please him. And gradually you'll find as you spend time with him that you'll become more and more like him. And then you'll have a real concern to build others up in the church, to win your friends, to step over that comfort line, to invite them to your scrambled egg or baked beans or whatever. Don't forget 2 Corinthians 3. We are all being transformed into his likeness with an ever-increasing glory that comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. These aren't empty words for me. See, I'd heard the gospel when I was young. I'd been to Christian camps, but frankly, religion turned me off. Church was such a bore. And I turned my back on it. But when I went to college, I had a friend there. In fact, several friends. They're going to come and have a reunion in my home this in a couple of weeks. Who were seriously trying to live for Jesus. And it was very, very attractive. And I remember one of them inviting me to H3 in Downing. Actually, I think that's the same room that Alex is living in. It's quite a big room. And there's an American speaker, George Verwer, young man, came to give a talk. And I was sitting at the back, and my friend Peter had invited quite a lot of us in the college to come and listen. And I never forget that talk. He spoke on a verse in 1 John 3:18. Let's not love in thought and in word. Oh, I agreed the theory. But I wasn't really committed. Let's not love in thought and word, but in deed and in truth. And after that talk, I went back to my room. And for the first time, really, for a very long time, I knelt down and I wrestled out this dilemma. Who's going to be Lord? Am I going to be part of the body of Christ? Part of the body? Am I going to love the brethren? Be part of that team? Or am I just going to carry on my own little way? Well, it was quite a tussle. I was playing quite a lot of tennis then, and we had in our tennis six the number one in England, Mark Cox. He got to the semi-finals of Wimbledon. And it sounds stupid now, but at the time, as I was praying, I thought, yeah, I know God wants me to be a Christian, but what will Mark Cox think? And I'll have to join the God squad. And some of those were a bit funny. And it was a real tension. But thank goodness the Lord won, and I said, Lord, come into my life. I mean business. And, well, that's what happened. My friend asked me the next day, he says, that's thrilling, but really go and work out. Be certain it's really true. But that's why it's so important. I've not kept going as well as I should. But to know that the Lord is the answer to life. He is God. Jesus is God come in the flesh. We can't play with him. We've got to be part of his body. Shall we pray? Lord, we'd pray for each one of us here. Help us not just to be Christian in name. Please help us to be rooted in Scripture and to determine to live closely with the Lord Jesus day by day. And Lord, may the fruit of the Spirit be seen in us. May we become more and more people who love the Lord Jesus and want to be like him in character and like him in purpose, sharing with others how they can be saved through faith in Jesus. And Lord, we'd pray as well that you'll help us to be real strong members of your church, not just going it alone, doing our own thing. So Lord, help us to learn from this passage for the Bible to be central and for us to be central in the church. For Christ's sake, amen.